the climbing stick has finally gone metal-free. Our goal for the Carbon SS climbing sticks was to make them as light as possible without sacrificing durability. And we wanted to make them stack flush so they're compact for saddle hunters and tree stand hunters. The new aerospace carbon fiber technology allowed us to achieve ultra-light weight specs and removed all moving parts and hardware for improved durability. The sticks also feature our patent-pending metal-free attachment method that makes setup easier, faster, and quieter. The Carbon SS climbing sticks are made right here in the USA and come with a 5-year manufacturer's warranty. For more information, visit latitudeoutdoors.com. The mobile hunter is obsessed with exploring unfamiliar places, and this is what our gear is designed to do. At Latitude Outdoors, we build mobile hunting equipment for hunters who like to move often and move fast. Whether you're an experienced whitetail hunter or new to the game, if you want to be mobile, we have options that are worth considering. Our saddles, climbing sticks, and platforms are made right here in the USA and are available at latitudeoutdoors.com. Thanks for checking out the gear and good luck this season.
Welcome to another edition of the Life Outdoors Podcast. If you follow any of our media, you know, YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, or Facebook, or any of that, you'll have seen Gage and I talking about the big things coming to the Life Outdoors. And we've been kind of alluding to it for quite a little while now, and I think today would be a good day to let you guys know what's going on with the Life Outdoors. Well, we are actually going to make it a nonprofit, and the reason we're going to do this is because God spoke to us through the outdoors. That's kind of how we became to know, or how we started to know Him, is through the things of the outdoors. Now, we were attached to churches for a long time as a kid, and I actually walked away from God because of it. I actually saw a lot of what was going on, and this isn't all churches. I'm just saying, as a kid, I saw this in the church that I was going to, and where people were acting like real churchy people on Sundays, and then on the rest of the week, they didn't realize that I went to the same church, and they treated us like dirt. And I saw that stuff and some other things that were happening. And then, of course, the human spirit is just kind of rebellious against God anyhow. But it was through the outdoors that I actually got to know Christ. And it was actually through some of the stuff that I went through in the Coast Guard. And that's a different story. But once I started reading the Bible for myself, I realized that I had been looking at Christ wrong. And I also realized that my outdoor pursuits, my hunting and fishing, was something that was showing me so much of God, so much of Jesus, that I was overlooking it. And the minute that I started aligning the two together, the realities that I was experiencing in the outdoors and why I wanted to experience those realities, that's when I decided that I probably better share this, because it completely changed my life. And I'm pretty sure it'll completely change most people's lives that go in the outdoor world. I believe that people are actually doing that, going out there and having these pursuits for the same purpose. And that's to find this thing called real life, or this thing called reality. You know, we can't fake our way through the outdoors. You can't do it. You cannot fake your way through a snowstorm and expect to live. You can't, you know, you can't just, you don't have any control over it. You got to work with it. And that's why we like the outdoors, is we don't have control over it. This modern age, it seems like humans try to control everything, and we think we can. I mean, if you look at all the stuff that went on with the pandemic and all those things that people thought that they were in control of, and they were making these actions and telling people what to do and this and that to control all that, you could see that, a lot of it didn't work, right? The masks were proven not to work, yet there were people that believed it wholeheartedly, trying to control it, and they knew that it didn't work. And there's all these other things that are going along with it that just the fact that you could control your own environment. You know, most people live in environmentally controlled places where the AC or the heater's coming on, and they don't, nowadays they don't, most people don't even have to cut their own firewood to keep the heat on, or, you know, open the windows in the morning and then let all the cool air in, then shut it up. And we don't live that way anymore. And I think people, humanity, misses something because they think that they have control over everything. Well, since 2020, we've found out that we don't have a bunch of control over everything. And I think people are coming to the realization that they need to get aligned with truth. So that's why we created, that's why we're moving the Life Outdoors. We, you know, it is the reason why we created Life Outdoors as well, because we were spoke to so well through the outdoors that we thought we had to pass that on to everybody else. The funny thing is, you know, they talk about evangelizing people and why don't you just keep it to yourself and this and that. Well, here's the deal is if you had the serum or the vaccine or the thing that really keeps people from hurting and the death that they have to go through, or even just the pain on earth that they have to go through, and you don't share it, you're not being very loving. And so we decided that it's important for us to share this. And there's something inside of us. It's not like a decision in my mind, right? It's like an intuition that once I found out who Christ was, and I found out how he does things and how he loves people and those kind of things, it becomes part of you. You become part of that spirit, and so you do the same thing that he did, and that's what being a Christian is. So and we also believe that he gave us the passions and the loves and the experience and, you know, the talents and all those things that we use in the outdoors. He gave you all that to spread that same message. It's a part of him that we have. And so that's the thing that we feel like we had to do, and that's what we moved into. That's what we have started becoming, the Life Outdoors, is because and we don't want to see, the reason we don't like calling it ministry or faith-based, or it's all those things, but is because when we start attaching titles to something, then there's a certain idea that it is that it is another part of us. It's not us, but we see life differently than that. We see life as being, we are attached to Christ, and that is life. That's life in itself. It's not that we have a religion and that's part of our life. It's not that. What we really believe is that life is what we do, and it's all mixed together. It's holistic, that we are alive at the dinner table, just as much as we are in a pew, just as much as we are out in the woods, that we are attached to Christ in those places. And we believe that that should be in every second thing. And we believe that if you become a Christian, that really is what you are. It's not something that you're just doing a religious act for, that you're really reminding yourself, like when you do a religious act, like the one thing that we probably do that's pretty religious is taking communion. And we believe that that is a sign of what we really are all along. It's not like we have commune with Christ during that time. No, it's just a reflection. We do that to remind us that we are always in communion with Christ once you've come to him. So that's why we call it the Life Outdoors, and that's why we are kind of shying away from some of the terms, because they've been overused and overdone in a lot of ways, and we want to come at this. It is a part of who we are. It's just who we are. So with that said, we've asked some people to come on board, because we believe in community, and we believe that the community of Christians can probably make this thing work a whole lot better. So that's what we're doing. We're asking for community, And so we've asked, and you'll get to meet them all down the road. So I'm not gonna go name names and stuff yet, because we got to get through getting this thing formed and you know, getting the accreditation of being a nonprofit. But we have some really powerful board members that are gonna help us create content. They're going to help us, direct us. They're going to give us a lot of information on where they think we should go with things, and just a lot of wisdom there as well. So the funny thing is, when I came to them and I said, hey, would you consider being on the board of the Life Outdoors? They jumped at the chance, and they all said that that had been placed on their hearts, and they didn't know quite what it was about. What had been placed on their hearts, they didn't know quite what they were looking at, but they also jumped on it because they said, man, I've been praying about this, and it's been something that's been placed on me. So so they're going to do it. And the cool thing is too, is we got other people that are going to be a part of the Life Outdoors that are going to help create content and bring you guys. We're going to try to live out our three pillars, right? Our three pillars are to edify, which means to build you up, to you know, give you a good solid foundation of what Christ likeness is, and through the outdoors, and we believe that that's a holistic thing, that the outdoors speak to that. And so we're going to show you how I kind of came through my journey was through the outdoors, and I'm going to share just a little bit of that today. So just kind of hold on there, and I'll show you what I mean by that here in a second. But so we're going to edify and we're going to educate. So in both the we're going to do some Bible studies on here, and we're also going to show you the stuff that we found out about elk hunting. We think elk act a certain way. God made them that way, and when we teach you how those elk act and how they were created, that we're teaching you something of God as well. Same with, you know, all the stuff that we fly fishing, mountain biking, all that stuff was created. And when we live it out, or when we pour ourselves into it, we're actually giving ourselves up to it. So to be a good elk hunter, you got to give yourself up to the elk and to the ground and to the weather and to all the things that you have to do to kill an elk. Well, you're actually giving yourself over to the Creator, and that is actual act of worship. And so that's why you're drawn to it, by the way. Even if you're subconsciously drawn to it, you're still drawn to it, and it's because you're connecting with the Creator through that. And we strongly believe that. And if you really sit down and think about it, and do it away from all the other things that are going on in life, right? Go up and do it up in the woods, and just start thinking about why you really hunt and why you're really connected to all this. And I think you'll find out that you're looking for something beyond yourself. And I think you'll also find out that there is no other real answer to that other than a personal king that created it all and enjoys doing it as well. So I think those are the things that you'll really start taking account for. So with that said, this is why we are moving this forward, and we want to get the message out more. So you could, if you believe this message, if you believe that we are actually helping get this message out, you could also help us by spreading the podcast or spreading all of the media. And that would help us immensely. And that would be, you know, I know a lot of people aren't comfortable maybe even speaking in a microphone or getting in front of a camera, but they know that they need to do something for ministry. They know that they need to help somehow get this message out. Well, we've made it easy here at the Life Outdoors. All you got to do is just spread this, just pass it to people, give it to people, you know. And I'm sure as you're listening to this right now, the four of you that are listening to this right now, I'm sure there's probably somebody that just jumped into your mind that would benefit from hearing what we're saying on the Life Outdoors. So that's one of the things that you can do. And that's, we're trying to set up avenues to help you guys be able to do this, because we also believe that it's all of our, if you've given your life to Christ and maybe you haven't yet, but maybe what we're saying resonates with you in one way or another. If it does, you should venture and take a look at that, see why. But that's the one thing that I would suggest is pass this around to people that you know might benefit from it. And we're going to do more and more of trying to equip you guys to be able to spread the message through your pursuits, through why you love what you love. And we're going to do that. One of the big things that we're coming up with before the fall season hits is we want to come up with a devotional that you could take with you while you're hunting. And it will probably, it'll help you in several different ways. We're going to give hunting tips out in the devotional too. But at the same time, we believe that hunting is a whole lot more than just the pursuit of animals. There's so much more that you're getting from that. And so we're going to point out all of those things as well, and which will probably help your hunting also. So we'd like to get a little pamphlet out called The Season, and it's a devotional that's 30 days long because, you know, bow elk season's 30 days long most states. So that way you'll have something you can read every morning to get you kind of reset on what you're doing out there. So with that said, let me jump in. Let me switch gears here. And I want to talk a little bit about how this looks. And you know, when I say that we speak life into the outdoors, and through the outdoors, those things, we've already covered why we say that. But at the same time, it's to encourage you. So that's our third pillar, is to encourage you to, one, get closer to Christ, two, get out in the outdoors. So when we say speaking into the outdoors, what we mean is we're speaking into the community that already knows the outdoors. And so that's to encourage you to know Christ more because of your love for the outdoors. And then when we say speaking through the outdoors, that's what we mean by that is taking this message to those who don't experience the outdoors. Is so bringing the outdoors to them, because we think that that will also bring them closer to Christ. So that's what we're doing, is trying to encourage people to understand why they love the outdoors if they're already in it, or to encourage them to get out in it. So that's our three pillars, is to edify, educate, and encourage. And then the next thing that I want to point out is, how do we do this? So, and I mean, it's really hard to put to words, guys. I hope I'm not lost you yet. But it's really hard to try to put this to words. But let me try by telling you a story. And I think this is how the life outdoors kind of resonates within my soul. And this is kind of how it all moved the way that we do things. So let me tell you this story. You know, we just got off of bear season, and I'm going to be putting out the bear season that we have. But there was one place that I went to this year. There's a great big field, and I've known that there's been bears there in the past. I've seen them, bear tracks when I was deer hunting up there in the snow. So I know that there were bears around in that area from last deer season. But you know, come spring, you're looking for places to hunt. You're looking for fresh places. We had hunted some of our stuff down south, and it just, too much snow had been on it. It hadn't been recovered yet. There wasn't any food for the bears, so we didn't have any bears coming into that area down south. So I was just, you know, trying to find some bears that were working. So I skirted this, knowing a little bit about spring bears. You know, this is part of knowing something of God. We know that God made spring bears to, when they come out of their den, the first thing they do is they go and eat fresh grass, and they try to get rid of that plug that they had during hibernation. So it not to be too graphic, but they kind of create a plug in their digestive system, and you can guess where that is. And they have to eat grass to kind of get their bowels to start moving again. They really don't go after anything real rich until they get some grass moving through them. So that's the places that we hunt during spring, is we always look for that fresh grass, and that's usually where the bears go to first. That's just the way they were made. And so anyhow, I knew of this prairie up in that area where I knew the bears were. And so I thought, well, you know what I got to do here is I just got to go around the prairie, see if I can find any bear sign around that prairie. So I did. I just started moving around the prairie and just try to keep the, you know, the wind in my favor and just try to move my way around there. And I had my muzzleloader with me, and I did happen upon a bear bed, and it all around that bed, and it was a good sized bed, you know, and when you see a good sized bed, you know, there's a good sized bear around. And I just started looking around, and I don't know if you guys have ever been around bear beds, and especially spring bears especially, but they usually will just poop in one spot and it's right around their bed, which is kind of gross. I wouldn't want to sleep around my poop, but that's what bears do. Anyhow, this bear had been around his bed, and he had pooped around all around it, and he wasn't in the bed when I got there. But I knew that he had been working that field, and I knew it for a fact, because all the poop was just grass. That's all there was in his poop. So from there, I started walking the trails and looking for tracks, and sure enough, I found some tracks in the mud leading out to the grass. Now, they usually will feed early mornings and late evenings, and evenings being more so than mornings. So that's just the way they're made. I don't get it, but that's how it is. Some days, though, you know, if it's cool enough, they'll feed all morning long or all evening, and or they'll come back and forth. So they try to get out, you know, if the sun's up, and this time of year it could be 80, 85 degrees sometimes, they'll try to get out and get out of that sun. Well, I knew that bear was going to come out and feed that evening. So I went back, got my rifle, did not use my muzzleloader, and I decided on a place that I'm going to sit out on the prairie, and I'm going to sit there and wait. Now, of course, I sat there until about 6:30, and that bear just showed up. And long story short, I sent a bullet right underneath his brisket, and that should never happen. It should have been but it was a huge bear. But my point being is I knew something of that bear because of what I'd seen. So as I was going around the prairie, I realized that bear had been on the grass, so I knew he's going to be out there, right? So I knew when to expect him. I knew that bear was a pretty good size one because I saw his tracks and I saw his bed. But I did not, there was no definitive, there was no way of knowing completely what this bear was going to do. There was no way of knowing that completely. That bear could have been miles away, really. I mean, it just so happened to eat there for the first few nights. But the one thing that I kind of want to point to is the fact that I put all these things together and the bear did come out. Well, that's what kept me in that field. So I sat in that field from like 4 o'clock until that bear came out for like 3.5 hours sitting out there just waiting for that bear to come out. What makes me sit and wait out there? Have you ever thought about this stuff about your hunting? Was it blind faith? Was it just because I thought, oh man, a bear should be here? Or was there other things that were going on there? Well, there were other things that were going on. I've sat on fields before, just sitting, but there's no way I'd sit there for 3 hours unless I had a good reason to, right? I don't do that out of blind faith. I have to see something around me to make me believe that. So I really had faith that bear was going to come out. But the only reason I had faith is because I saw the actions of the bear. And you guys, we exercise faith. It's funny to me. We exercise faith as human beings. We exercise faith all the time. And, you know, I have people that don't say they have faith in God. Don't say that, you know, they come up to me and they tell me, man, I just wish I could have faith like you. And I want to, it drives me nuts because quite honestly, they have tons of faith. They just don't have faith in God. They just don't exercise their faith in God. But a lot of atheists or agnostics or people, or maybe you, say, well, I can't believe in something unless I can see it. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's not how we operate. That's not how humans do things. If you could actually see, okay, for instance, do you know for a fact when you get on an airplane that that airplane is actually going to make it to its destination? And I'm talking objectable fact here. You don't, because airplanes fall out of the sky. Sometimes pilots are drunk. Sometimes, do you have faith that you're going to wake up again when you are put under for a surgery or something like that? If everybody woke up out of surgery, they wouldn't have you sign the releases that say that they're not accountable if you die on the operating table. You guys, so everybody works out of faith. Now, some people have their faith totally in like humans. Like we watch that happen, right? If a doctor says a certain thing, then that's exactly true. Well, that's not true. It's still a human. Just because a doctor says it doesn't mean it's true. It doesn't mean that you should put your faith in it. But what I'm saying is I had enough faith to sit in that field because of the things that I saw. And I started adding those things together. And this is what I mean by the life outdoors teaching me something about God. Because if I could put those things together and sure enough, my faith was made real when that bear walked out. The same thing happened when I gave my life to Christ. I did not go into it blindly like a lot of people like to think that us Christians are just blind faith. That's not true. I probably tested what Christians were saying more than just about anybody else. And I probably tested because I did not want to come to Christ. I did not want to come to Christ one bit. But after I started looking at it and putting things together, there was no other place that I could go. I came to Christ because I had no other choice after looking at the things that I looked at. And what I mean by that is Christ is the only answer to the four big questions of life is where did I come from? Where am I going? Why am I here? And how do I know right from wrong? Those are the four big questions that every philosopher or every human being wants to answer. And there is no answer outside of Christ for those. Now, every other answer is incomplete. And the big one in that is, where am I going? Well, if you just believe that there is nothing beyond this world, then you're going to be worm dirt and nothing that you do has meaning. Because if all you are to do is to be born, live on earth and then die, then why even, that's a very meaningless life when you think about it. If there is nothing that you're living for, some people say it's just to pass on my genes. Well, then you're just passing on your genes to other worm dirt, basically. So you're just passing your genes on to somebody that's going to die, and that really has no... So what? So what? By the time you're dead, it doesn't really matter that you pass genes on, because those genes are just going to die eventually too. And it's not going to go anywhere. So it's really a hopeless scenario. Death is a hopeless scenario without Christ. But the fact that he came out of the grave and is living now and pulled you through that is full hope. And that there is meaning, and that the most meaning is beyond the grave, not in front of it. That means the good things yet to come. We live in a society right now that, man, they do not believe that. And you're not being taught that for sure. And it is the most hopeless society that we've seen. That's why we see suicide rates and everything else go up. But I come to these realizations because of the realizations I come to while I'm hunting, while I'm out in the woods. You know, to create fire, you have to have three things, right? You have to have fuel, heat, and oxygen. That tells me that was made that way. That those are symbiotic relationships that couldn't have evolved. That's just that can't come from a single molecule exploding. You learn that when you try to make fire. So this is why we've created the Life Outdoors, because it speaks so much to real life. It speaks so much into the Bible. So what I mean by that is that the Bible says, let me read it to you real quick, that the Bible actually tells us that we should know who Jesus is just by the stuff that he's done. If you look at the first book in Romans, it tells you that you should know Jesus by the world that you live in and by yourself as well, because you were created in his image. So when I start looking at that, and I say that that hunting speaks to that, what I'm saying is I have no other choice but to have to look at it, because I look at hunting and I use faith all the time in hunting, and then I could step back out and I could see all the actions of God, and then that's how I'm supposed to exercise my faith, is by seeing the actions of God. And the minute that I did that, so I did it a long time ago, I said, man, this has to be true. So, and then, Lord, forgive me for not believing it. And the minute that did, Jesus made himself known more and more and more and more. And it's through the same ways that a bear makes himself known. It's through his actions. You see things. You see, they're not always tangible things. Sometimes they are. They're not always tangible things, but they're spiritual things. When you see somebody change in front of you, when you watch your kids grow up and do things that is anti-humanism, that is actual, it's stuff that steps outside of humanity. It's the good stuff that we were created to be. When you see that happen, there's only one place that it comes from. And hunting and the outdoors help us understand that. We're faced with these realities of what we're doing out there. And that's the big reason that we're starting this. So I just kind of wanted to come on here and let you guys know what was going on and how the outdoors have affected us. And this is pretty much across the board with the Life Outdoors, with all of our board members. They recognize this as being the thing. So this is what the Life Outdoors is all about. And everything that we create is going to be steering towards this direction. And we're going to do it in an authentic, real manner. We don't want to be, the last thing we want to be is fake. And because there's so much of that going on anymore, that we believe that there has to be truth. And we know that you guys are searching for truth. And we know that it's one of those things where that's why I wanted also to have a nonprofit, so we have this board, and so we could say to each other before we move forward to things, is this something that is going to benefit the people? And that's what we're really looking to do, is we're really looking to show you why we've come to Christ, and it is through real life. And then you start living that real life and things change and people change. And that's what we're really trying to point towards. So hopefully you guys are going to dig it. I know you will. But all of our content, all the products we come up with, we'll have t-shirts and things like that. All that stuff is going to point you in that direction. And that's our job. And that's why we created Life Outdoors. And that's why we're doing all that we're doing. So if you guys are on board with it, if you're liking this stuff, please share it. That could help us out a ton. There's going to be more of this. I'm going to get some guests on here, and we're going to do some more podcasts. Just great things are coming from Life Outdoors. One last thing I want to say before I get off of here is we are doing the film festival again this year. It's going to be in Eagle Point, Oregon. It will be July the 28th. And I don't have exactly the time on it yet, but you could check us out at thelifeoutdoors.com and I'll put the event up there. And you should come. We got a ton of filmmakers. It's the film festival. We're going to have 6 films. And we got people on board that are donating prizes, so we're going to do a giveaway. So come out. You're gonna be overwhelmed with how cool some of this stuff can be. And hopefully you'll leave there with some cool stuff as well. So thanks for coming on. I'm going to jump off of here now. And leave us any kind of messages you have. We also, over at thelifeoutdoors.com, we do have a prayer board over there. So if you're in need of prayer or if you have any questions, theological questions, you could get a hold of us over there, or you could get a hold of us on any of our social media platforms. Until then, you guys, keep living.
In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. In Wild Country, the challenge of what's outside brings you closer to what's inside. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, presented by Expedition Enterprises.
It's going to get a little hairy.
Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.